You know, it's a joy to gather together in the Lord's house. And so, tomorrow morning, even now, as you seek to grow in our understanding and appreciation of God's word, shall we just open in prayer? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for this privilege that we have to be in thy very presence, that we are able to bow before you and worship you and sing praises to thy holy name. And so, Father, even in this short moment time that we have, we pray, Father, that you'll quieten our hearts, that, Lord, that your Spirit will do a mighty work in each of our lives as we turn to your word. Pray, Father, that, Lord, that our hearts would be willing to hear you as you speak to us through your holy word. And that, Lord, that we would take it, and that, Lord, you bless us as we obey you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a very familiar portion of scripture that we are looking at from Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. You know, when Jonathan James sent me a note on Wednesday morning, he's down with, he's not well, he's got chest infections, and he apologized deeply and says he's sorry that he's not able to meet, to be here this morning to share his God's word with you. And so I'm here as a replacement for him, and let's open to God's word as we look at the same passage that John and James are supposed to look at. Pray for him, because he's going off to Pakistan on the 24th of October. You know, he's a very delicate man. He's so keen on the work that he does, both in Nepal, India, and Pakistan. And I think the message today is, if he had been here, would be very relevant, because he's going to share with you what he thinks as a church, as individuals, how we can further God's kingdom. And so let's begin as we turn to his word. And I'll start before we read God's word. I just want to show you something that we are doing as an assembly. Just this week, we just sent a check to Redeemer Ministries, and this is one of the families that we have that we are going to sponsor, what we call redemption or redeem them. This family, if I can remember correctly, it's a father. There are six of them. They're in debt, and they're working in a brick kiln factory in Pakistan, and together with another family, 15 years they're in debt. The amount they owe is, from our perspective, is a very small amount, something like under 1,400 Australian dollars. You know, they only work for $1 a day to feed the whole family. There is no social security net for them. In the event that he falls sick, he has no money. The debt still continues. And so they have been in slavery for the last 15 to 20 years. And I think by God's grace, the Lord has enabled us as an assembly to be able to share, to redeem their debt, to pay off the debt completely and take them out of that situation. And because they are no more in debt, we are able to take their children out and educate them in a Christian school. And this is what we do as a church. That God, as God blesses us, that we will use the money for his kingdom. And in addition to that, the assembly also supported underfunded missionaries in Indonesia. And as you know, every year we give $4,000 to them to fund the local missionaries. And in addition to that, we had givers who have come to us and says, we are willing to share in that ministry to care for people who go into the remote areas in Indonesia to share the gospel. And so we were able to raise another further 6,000. And therefore, by God's grace, we have been able to give $10,000 this week to the needs, to the needy in Indonesia. And let's get back to God's word. You know, as I, before we read God's word, I'd like to just give an introduction. God owns everything. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. The beginning and the end, God is the originator of all things. And that's what we believe. The creator of life, the author and the provider of our salvation, and the sole provider of everything that we have. You and I owe our life to God. He's the sole provider of everything that you and I have. We owe our life to God. He is the reason we exist, and He is the reason we live, and we have to live for Him. You know, God owns everything. He made us in His own image to find our greatest joy in giving our lives to His purposes. So can we read Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 to 12. I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet, Malachi says, yet you rob God. Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. And the Lord says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that there will not be a room enough to store it. And I will rebuke the devourer of your sakes for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. And may God bless the reading of His precious word. You know, Malachi is preaching God's message to a group of former exiles who are returning, who have been freed from exile and captivity, and have returned to Jerusalem for many, many years. They were frustrated that all the great glory that had once been Jerusalem was not immediately restored. But God was waiting on them to return to the true practice of their faith before He showered them with promised blessings. After having pointed out their failures in faith in the areas of true worship, oppression of the poor, unfaithfulness to their wives, idolatry, God points to another area that demonstrates their lack of faithfulness to God, the use of their money. When God mentioned them forsaking His commands, they accusingly asked, how? They deceived themselves into thinking that they were okay. They were good followers of God because they came to the synagogues, or what we call the church today, once a week, and said an occasional prayer. But God showed them in this word that their use of money is a good barometer of their faith. As we look at Israel at the time, they were under what we call a theocratic government, and a tithe or 10% of everything was given to support that system of government, the priesthood, and the poor. The second word here is a word used for a voluntary heave offering to God over and above the tithe. But God had instituted tithing for a dual purpose. First, to support the government in place we mentioned, but also to test the believer the faith of the believer. You know, God knows that our checkbook reflects our attitude of money. And the Lord says, these Israelites have been robbing God. And it's a very harsh language, isn't it? If someone were to accuse me of robbing, and that's what God was meant when Malachi is telling us, that they were robbing God. They were taking what was God and using them for themselves. And God said that they will be under a curse. They will lose blessings until they recognize His ownership of all. Malachi also indicates that some were holding back a portion, maintaining their self-righteousness, and at the same time, their greed simultaneously. Malachi 3:9 tells us, "We rob God. How awful it is if we were told that we were robbing God. How awful it is because the God who gave us life that we talk about just now, and that we are not giving as He instructs us to do so. God gives us the abilities to earn a living. He provides us jobs, opportunities to work. He gives us adequate health and strength to serve Him through these jobs. And we give back in one small way by returning to God what is due to Him." And I can say that's how true it is. I remember years ago, 1988 was the year we came to Australia. We came with very little. It took me 4.5 months to find a job. But God gave me a job. And for the rest, from since 1988 until now, God has provided everything that we need, far and far more above than we ever needed. It's a testimony of God's provision, God's blessing. And I'm talking about spiritual blessing on our life, because we believe in His word. And so this pastor, reading a story of a pastor by the name of W.A. Criswell in America, tells of an ambitious young man who told his pastor one day he had promised God a tithe of his income. And he prayed for God to bless his career. He was just beginning his career in his life. At the time, he was making $40 a week. And so he tithed $4 a week. And I can see that in my life, and because I remember when I was a young boy, my mother gave me $10 a month as our allowance, and we learned to give a dollar to church and kept our $9 in how we spend. But in doing so, it helped me right through my life to follow that pattern that God will provide all my needs. And so this young man, over a period of years, God has blessed him tremendously. He was now tithing $500 per week. So that would mean he has now earned $5,000 a week. So he went to see his pastor and says, Pastor, can you help me? Can you release me from the promise that I made to God to give, to reduce? It's too costly for me," he says. The pastor replied, "I don't see how you can be released from your promise. But maybe we can ask God to reduce your income to $40 a week. And then you have no problem in tithing the $4. And I think we were all probably smart and say, no, that's not what we're asking. You see how easy we forget that when we were earning $40 and now we earn $5,000, we forget God's tremendous blessings upon our life. And so is it with all of us that God has blessed us bountifully, more than we ever did. But we forget, like this young person, that blessing, and see that the giving of that $5 has a burden. I pray it be not so with each one of us, that we do not see that they're giving to God His portion as a burden. So what Malachi is asking us to look at our own heart, and you will soon find out what has stuck to it, where your treasure is. That's what it is, where your treasure is. It is easy to determine whether hearing the word of God, living according to it, and achieving such a life gives you as much enjoyment and calls forth as much diligence from you as us accumulating and saving money and property. That's what Martin Luther was saying. And Peter Marshall was saying, give according to your income, lest God make your income according to your giving. And I don't think you want that. We want God to bless us, but we don't want to be obedient to Him. We are to have the attitude that God is the owner of all, and that we are the stewards of His. How we regard money, demonstrates our view of one Christ's Lordship in our lives, our dependence on Him, and our gratitude toward Him. Lordship, dependence, gratitude. I think in all that three areas, I think we are struggling in our lives. Do we own Him as Lord on our lives? It's a question only you and I can answer ourselves. Do we want to be dependent upon Him? You know, the world says to us, it's me. The I factor comes in. And so we don't want to give to God because we don't want to depend upon Him. And so when we build our bigger barns and all that we have, we don't want to depend upon Him. That's a problem that even each of us face, I face. Gratitude. That's a problem, isn't it? We're only grateful to God for a moment. And then we forget all His benefits. I think the problem I think we have is this. God loves you. He has redeemed you. You are now His. And somehow in our mind, back in my mind or in your mind, you think that God is withholding all these things from us. And that's not true. God wants to enrich your life. He wants to bless you. And so when I read Jeremiah, he says to me, I have plans for you, plans not to harm you, but to bless you. But somehow or another, we seem to can't cross that of our mind. We want to live the life we live rather than trusting God to be Lord of our lives. We want to trust upon our own efforts rather than depending upon God who blesses us. And then our gratitude towards Him along the way, we forget all His blessings upon us. Our money that we have, that God has given to us, is simply a means to ministry. There are over 3,000 verses on money in the Bible, and Jesus spoke more about money than He did about heaven or hell. The question of tithing is not used often in the New Testament, and why? The emphasis is not in the New Testament is not a legal system, but on the willingness, the cheerfulness, and the trust in our trustful giving. The New Testament doesn't want to have a limit on how little or how much you give, yet it still emphasizes proportionate giving. The New Testament didn't make it a law, but it makes it a sacrifice or gratitude to our Lord Jesus Christ. But then when you look at the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, He did affirm tithing in principle to the Pharisees, but not in requirement. Ultimately, giving is a matter of faith that God will supply your needs as He uses you to supply other needs. Do you trust God with your money? And I would recommend this morning to all our young people and even our older ones that they have the need to make the commitment now to trust God, as it's much more difficult to revert back to the later. And I tell you, this is the only time in Scripture in Malachi that we find the Bible that God says to test Him. Nowhere in Scripture, except in Malachi, that God is asking you to test Him. God promised Israel that if they are faithful in this area, it will only lead to opportunities for God to demonstrate His faithfulness. In fact, He says that when they do, God will open the windows of heaven until there will be no more room enough to hold all the blessings. Not only will God bless you to overflowing, He promises you to protect their crops, their children, and nation, as well as to cause other nations to exalt God because of the prosperity of Israel, which of course is the end of all things. I think the question this morning is really, do you believe God? Do you? So Malachi, he confronts us with a challenging question. Will a mere mortal rob God? Only you can answer that. Are you robbing God? And it reveals a sobering truth. When we withhold our tithes and offerings, we are not just being stingy, we are robbing God. This isn't about a legalistic tithing rules. It is about our relationship with God. When we withhold what belongs to God, we're not just hurting the church budget. We are hurting our spiritual well-being. Malachi gives us a wonderful promise. He says, if we bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, God will open the floodgates of heaven and pour so much blessings that there will be not enough room to store it again. Again, this isn't a prosperity gospel promising material wealth. It's a promise of spiritual blessing. When we give faithfully, we're not supporting the works we are supporting. We're not just supporting the work of the church. We're opening doors ourselves up to receive the abundant blessing of God. I ask you this question this morning. Do you want God to bless your life spiritually? Or are you contented with just accumulating more wealth for yourself? It's only one or the other. Because I think as I look at the life at our lives, if we are to be obedient to Him, God has promised me in His Word. And you and I believe His Word is true. There's nothing that's wrong in His Word. His Word is true. So He's asking you and me to test Him. I'm not asking you. God is asking each one of you, test me. Be obedient to me. And see whether I will do this to you. But remember, he says then in Malachi, today is if we do not do what he asks us to do, there are consequences in our lives. We may be rich physically, materially, but we will be far, far from him. You know, when we think about our involvement in the assembly or in the church, we often consider our time, our talents, and our prayers. But there's another aspect of our commandment that we sometimes overlook, and that is our financial givings. The money that we give the church isn't just about keeping the lights on and the doors open and insurance that we pay. It is about participating in the work of the kingdom of God, supporting the ministry of the gospel, expressing our love for God and our neighbors. And Wilson, as an assembly, is committed to giving to missionaries, committed to giving to the work that God's work will grow, committed to giving to help the poor and the needy in our community. I'm not just saying that, because when you look at the book of Acts, the early church in the book of Acts said, what did they do? They didn't just meet to worship and pray. They also shared their possessions and sell their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. But this is not a legalistic requirement. It was a joyful response to the members to the grace that they had received in Christ. And it was a powerful testimony to the watching world. And you and I have read in Acts how God added 5,000 to the church. It is only possible because the members were touched by God's grace, by the salvation that they have received, especially the non-Jews. For many years, they were out in the wilderness. They had no God. No, now you and I are very privileged. We have a God who declares that He loves you. We have been able
to come into the presence of God and worship Him. The words of Paul in 2 Corinthians is that he tells us that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. This isn't a prosperity gospel we're talking about, promise of material wealth. It is a spiritual principle, a spiritual principle about the nature of giving, and that when we give generously, we're not talking about just giving our money. We are sowing seeds of the gospel, seeds that will bear fruit in the lives of others and in our own hearts. Paul warns us against giving reluctantly or under compulsion, as God loves a cheerful giver. Our giving should be a joyful act of worship, not a grudging obligation. It is not about the amount we give, but the attitude with which we give. And when we give with a cheerful heart, we're not just pleasing God, we are also experiencing the joy of participating in His work. In all of this, that we see that our financial contribution to church or not are just not just about money, they are about our commitment to the kingdom, our love for God and our neighborhood, our neighbors, our participation in the gospel, our spiritual health, and our experience of God's blessing. You know, giving is a spiritual act. It's an act of faith. It's an act of worship. What we give, when we give our tithe, we are worshiping God. We are expressing our love for Him, our gratitude to Him, our trust in Him. We are saying, God, I trust You with my finances. I trust You with my resources. I trust You with my life. I trust You with my life. The blessings that comes on tithing, when we tithe, we're not just giving away money. We're investing in the kingdom of God. We are sowing seeds that will reap a harvest. We are storing up treasures in heaven. And God promises to bless us when we tithe. He says again, I repeat in Malachi 3:10, test me in this and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. This is not a promise of material wealth. This is a promise of spiritual blessings. This is a promise of peace, joy, contentment, and fulfillment. This is a promise of a closer relationship with God. Talk about this. Jesus condemned the Pharisees and emphasized that they should tithe in addition to practicing justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Jesus condemned the Pharisees for neglecting the important matters of justice, mercy, faithfulness, and love of God. And He says to you, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter, without neglecting the former. And now the Lord Jesus Christ still believes in the principle of giving. You should tithe, He says, but do not forget the important matters. Giving our tithe is a reminder of our reverence to God, and our reverence to God is the important issue. We have to tithe, we have to have reverence to God, and we have to experience the provision of God in our lives. He saw the rich putting the gifts in the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. And he said, truly I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth. But she, out of the poverty, put in all she had to live on. And Paul made it clear in the next verse, whoever sows sparingly also reaps sparingly, and whoever sows generously also reaps generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, when I become a member of this assembly of this church, I become a member of the body of Christ. and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I become a member, I become a member of the body of Lord Jesus Christ. My obligation of giving is in the body of Christ. I believe that God's words teach us that we are to do our Christian activities in the body of Christ in this place. And when we give our tithes and offerings, we activate the power of God's blessing in our lives. And by honoring God with our finances, we open ourselves to His abundant provisions and protection. And I remind ourselves that when we sow, we will reap. And therefore, let us give generously and cheerfully, knowing that God will bless us in return. May we be faithful stewards of our finance and experience the joy of being channel of blessings to others. You know, our obedience in giving equates to our love for God. We need to acknowledge God's ownership of everything that we have. But it requires faith, you know, don't it? Doesn't it? We need to believe God. We need to trust in Him. It's a very serious matter in the sense that when God looks at it, He sees what our heart does. He sees whether we are willing to be obedient to Him. Because the opposite of obedience is disobedience. There is no neutral ground. You either obey or disobey. Trust God to provide. You know, you and I never need to worry about making more money. Just be faithful to God. That's the beauty of obedience, because God will provide. And I say that with full confidence, because you and I believe in eternal life. You do. But somehow or another, that doesn't seem to connect to our earthly life. We believe that God has promised us eternal life, that one day He will resurrect us and we will be with Him forever in all eternity, to spend all eternity with Him. But while He has placed us on earth, He has asked us to be stewards of His. He has asked us to be faithful servants of His. Last but not least, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord, your God. And I think sometimes we think that this may only apply to the Old Testament Jews. Because giving of the first fruits is a reminder of redemption in the Old Testament. It's a deliverance from evil, oppression. But in the New Testament, when we talk of deliverance, we talk as a reminder of the deliverance of sin in our lives and what Christ has done for us at Calvary. And so we are to honor Him with our wealth. I just want to end and explain to you what you mean by giving to a giving God. Giving starts with God. Giving is at the heart of God's character. We respond to God based on what He has done for us. God has given sacrificially by sending His only Son to earth to die for our sins. God did not spare His Son, but willingly gave Jesus as a sacrifice for all of humanity's sin. That's what God has given to us. Today, the question I ask everyone, have you responded to God's gift of His Son? And I believe so. Most of you will say yes. Because we are told in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, so that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus giving His life for us is the ultimate demonstration of God's generosity and grace. God gave His best by giving Jesus. And I believe most of you would have received Christ as your Savior. If you have not, today is the day You should. Or you might be a Christian,
and there's always that possibility that you are robbing God of his tithe.
Turn from your sin and return the tithe to God. He wants to bless you as you obey him. Oh, joy awaits us as we honor the Lord in giving. Be obedient in your giving. Experience the joy. Experience the joy. Truly, it is more blessed to give than to receive, as we find in Acts chapter 20. And Paul ends with this: "For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave willingly, with much blessing, with much besieging, begging us that they might receive of us the grace and the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. And not as we hope, but first they gave themselves to the Lord and to us through the will of God."
I guess there's a yardstick that we can need to measure for our lives. Do we give regularly or do we give generously? And Paul reminds us on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money
in keeping with his income.
What can I give to God for all his benefits unto me?
Or I can rephrase it.
How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness
to me? I just want to end with just one phrase from Amy Carmichael. You can give
without loving,
but you cannot love
without giving. There is something you have asked for yourself in each of your life. You can give without loving,
but you cannot love
without giving. And may the Lord
guide us and teach us. Shall we pray? Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the prophet Malachi, who reminds us, will a man rob God? Father, I pray that your spirit will speak to each one of us. And that, Lord, in our hearts, that we will be determined, Lord, to have a grateful hearts. And that, Lord, that we would love you. And that we will be obedient to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.